Philippians 3. I want to say by a couple of things by way of introduction this morning, if you will. You think about this is the first Sunday in the Lord's house. Amen. First Sunday of 2019. Amen. And it's hard to get used to that, right? When you always change a year, especially when you go to signing things or writing dates on things. And at Bilo, I have to count the money every morning and make sure it matches up with what the bookkeeper counts. And I went to do my signing and my stuff this week, and I signed 18, I don't know how much stuff, and then all of a sudden I realized, oh no. I said, well, I guess it's fine, you know, and I just kept on going. So, but it's hard to get used to that, right? But you think about, you know, it's our first Sunday of the new year, and what better place to have and to be on the first Sunday of the new year than in the Lord's house? Amen. A lot of times you think about, people say the things that you do to start off the new year is what you'll do the rest of the year. Amen. And hopefully that's true when it comes to us being in the Lord's house on Sundays. Amen. And so thank the Lord for those that did that. And for those that didn't, maybe they'll be here next week and they'll start doing that. Amen. But you think about, you know, the Lord's Day and being in the Lord's house and the first Sunday of the year and all those types of things. I don't know how many more Sundays we're going to have together in the Lord's house. Amen. You don't know how many days or how many more we're going to have, but we've got one at least in 2019. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. But you think about today that none of us knows what the future holds. The Lord may come back. Amen. Before we have another Sunday in the Lord's house. And barring that, though, we all have an appointment. Amen. And you know what I'm talking about. And that's what Hebrews 9:27 says. We won't turn there. But just paraphrasing, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Amen. And so you think about that, barring the Lord's return, every one of us one day will have an appointment with death. Amen. It's an appointment that you and I can't, if you will, but to a point, try to, we can't change the time. Amen. We can take and try to be as healthy as we want to and eat all the good healthy stuff like some people's doing, especially around this time of year and those types of things. But still in the end, amen, the Lord has an appointment date for us. Amen. I'm not saying don't try to eat healthy or exercise or whatever, but I'm just saying in the end, it's in the Lord's hands. Amen. Ultimately. And you think about today, when I think about appointments, there's one thing that immediately comes to my mind, and maybe some of you are looking forward to some of these in the new year, and that's doctor's appointments. Amen. Yes. You have those appointments, and maybe you're looking forward to and excited about going and seeing your favorite doctor. Amen. So start off the new year, if you hadn't seen them already. Doctors. Amen. For those yearly things you have to do. And the older you get, the more you see them and have those appointments. Usually, not all the time, but usually. But you think about today, that appointment with death is one that, and I've said this before, and some people look at me crazy when I say this, and if you don't understand this morning what I'm saying, it's okay, just chalk it up to me. But I've been one that I have always, if you will, I've been a little nervous when it comes to death. I'll be honest with you. Some people say, well, I don't fear death, bless God, because I know I'm going to heaven. Amen to that. But I have a fear of death still, okay? I'm going to be honest, completely honest with you this morning, that I've still got a little bit of fear of death, and I think most people do, even those that say that. You say, what do you mean by that this morning, Pastor? The unknown of it. Amen? You talk about being afraid because of the dark and things we talked about in Sunday school this morning, that at different times in my life, we've all been afraid of the dark. As we get older, I guess we're less afraid when it comes to those types of things sometimes. But just the unknown of how's it going to feel like? What's going to happen? How's it going to take place? Just those types of things. Not that I'm afraid of dying, because I know where I'm going to be, but just what's exactly going to take place when that event, if you will, that appointment takes place in my life. But we don't have to fear what's going to happen after we die. Amen, is the way I like to say it. Because we know that if we're saved, if we're born again, amen, that our home is in heaven and we're going to close our eyes here and wake up there. Amen. You think about the fact today that we know that and we can have peace despite, if you will, what may take place tomorrow with our life or when our appointment may be. But until that day comes that our appointment is, we need to run our race for the Lord. Amen. We need to run our race of life for the Lord. And we're going to talk about the race, if you will, just a little bit this morning. That's not the title of the message, but we're going to talk about the race. And I know we've preached on this several times in the past about the race and all, but Paul mentions a lot about his race. Amen. And I was amazed as I was studying and looking at a few things this week how many times he talks about his race in different passages of Scripture and things. And we're going to look at several of those today and kind of bounce back and forth a little bit. But as long as we are here on this earth, we've got a race to run for the Lord. And you think about our race up to this point that we've run in our lives, and I don't know how long our race will be, like I said, because when the Lord comes back, our death, we don't know how long it may be. But I ask you today to think about your race as we look at the message this morning, the things the Lord has laid all on our hearts. Especially all of us as believers, this morning we're in a race for the Lord. We're in a race for the Lord. And the question is, how are we doing in this race? Philippians chapter 3, let's read we're going to read a good many verses and kind of talk through those by way of introduction. The message is short. The introduction is not so short. Amen. So, but anyway, Philippians 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, he's talking here, Paul is to who? The believers. Amen. Keep that in mind. I'm preaching to the believers this morning, those that are running a race for the Lord Jesus Christ, the brethren, just like he was. Rejoice in the Lord. Notice the context. I'm reading all these verses to build a foundation, a context to talk about our race this morning, because I believe it's important to see these things he told the believers first before he got to talking about his race. To write the same things to you. To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. In other words, Paul's saying the things I'm getting ready to write to you about and talk about, this is not the first time you've heard them. Amen. This is not the first time you've heard Gerald Moss Jr., your pastor, preach about the race. Amen. If you pull out your notes, I did not take and pull up my notes off the printer and preach the same message I did last time we preached on this, but you might find some overlapping things. And you think about today to preach the same things and remind us of the same things about our race of life should not be a grievous thing. Amen. And Paul said it's not grievous to him to remind them of the same things. You think about a lot of times, how many times have we heard messages preached on the cross? How many times have you heard messages preached on sin? How many times have you heard salvation messages preached? I could keep on naming all these types of things. But it shouldn't be a grievous thing. And Paul's saying these things, he said, to me, these same things I'm writing to you, it's not grievous, but it's for you to stay safe. Amen. It is for you to keep you and to keep me going in the right direction that we ought to be going in, and remember that we're in a race. Amen. You think about today, it's a safe thing. You say, why is he mentioning that again? Because it's a safe thing. Amen. We need to be reminded of it. Verse 2, it says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. He mentions three different groups here, but for the sake of time this morning, I'm simply going to say this. There's those evil, wicked people out there that's trying to divide and cause issues with God's people. Amen. There, and we don't need to, if you will, give in to them. He's saying, beware. I'm reminding you that you need to beware that there's those out there that's trying to hinder you and harm you and hurt you and that's trying to divide you. Amen. You think about, he's saying, beware of that. Beware of that today. Amen. Even those that name the name of Christianity or of God, be careful. Beware, amen, of them. Beware of these different things. Notice, because the concision there is specifically talking to these people about the Judaizers, I believe, and those religious crowd. Be careful of those type of people, amen. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision. He says, brethren, this is what we are. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. We talked about that not long ago. Those that worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth, the Lord Jesus Christ says. Paul says, we worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have, and I mark these words in my Bible, no confidence in the flesh. Amen. He says, don't have any confidence in your flesh, brethren. Don't trust in your own strength, in your own might, in your own flesh to do the things that we need to do to run the race. You think about today, some people, you listen to them in different sports avenues and things, and it's always a good thing, but it's sometimes a thing of you don't want to hear, to a point, to hear some of those interviews you have after some of the sports games. Because some of them guys, they stand up there and they talk about, oh, look at me, I did this, and my great talent that, and I did this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And then some of them half-heartedly, they'll say, well, my team, it's all because of my team, and blah, 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 and, you know, and this, that, and the other. But you can tell they're just saying that for the media, right? But you think about, then there's some of those that get up and say, I give all honor and glory to the Lord. Amen. I like to hear those that are sincere about it. Or thank the Lord for, or thank, you know, these in my life that's made a difference, my coaches, my this, my that. They've helped me to be where I am. Those types of things. In other words, it's not all about them. Amen. It's not having confidence in themselves, but it's because of others' help and the Lord's working in our lives. Here, Paul's talking about, he says, hey, don't have confidence in the flesh. Especially, we could get into talking about the circumcision here, the issue there, talking about the flesh. Don't have confidence in your works, the things that you've done in the strength of your flesh, if you will. Don't lift up those things. Then he goes into this, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Paul says, this is my flesh. Let me tell you about it. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. He said, if anybody should trust in their flesh and have confidence, it ought to be me. And now he gives you his resume, amen, if you will. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. And we're not going to go into all these things, but he's just talking about how he's followed the law, he's done all these things and all of this, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Remember that. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. In other words, he had kept the law. He had done his best to do, line up everything just perfect, to live the perfect, if you will, to dot all the I's and cross all the T's from what the religious crowd and what those were saying that he needed to do. But notice verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I, and I mark this, counted loss for Christ. He said, I count all those things loss. He said, those really don't matter. He said, and I've lost them, and I'll lose them all. They really don't make a difference in the end. He's willing to lose these things that he might lift up his flesh. No, he said, no confidence in the flesh. Lay these things aside. He said, I'm willing to lose all that fleshly stuff because that doesn't matter. Let's read on. He said here, those I counted loss for Christ. Keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that phrase. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. There is again, for the excellency, here's why he counted these things lost. Here's why he counted them lost for Christ. But lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, the most important thing is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him. Amen. All these other things are lost. They're not important. Let's read on. And I like this next part. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I mark that. There's a third time we see loss in these couple of verses. He said, I've taken and I've counted all these things that he listed in verse 5 and 6 of his flesh that he might trust in. He said, I've counted all these things lost. They're lost. They're lost. They're lost, he says over and over again. I've lost. He says, they're lost of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You see what he said there, right? He said, all these things that would a lot of people have confidence in the flesh, and that at one point I had confidence because look at me and who I am and what I've done. He says basically in verse 5 and 6 as he lists those things. He said, but I count all those things lost that I might take and win Christ, that I might do what Christ wants me to do with my life. And he says here, he said he counts them but dung. We all that know what that means. Amen? You think about, you think about what it means this morning. All that is leftovers. Junk. Worse than that. Amen? Do I need to say it? Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's dung. You think about, it's a pile of feces. Amen? Dung. Why? That I might win Christ. A lot of the things that people lift up and say, oh, look at me. Look at what I've done. Paul says, that's nothing but junk. That's trash. He said that I might win Christ. That I might do what Christ wants me to do. I'm willing to get rid of those things. You think about this simply this morning. This is kind of going to be, we're going to read a few verses here in a minute, but I feel led to go ahead and give you this. The title of the message simply is going to be this morning: Losing to Win and Looking to Him. Losing to Win and Looking to Him. That's what Paul's saying here. I'm going to take and I'm going to lose these things that I might win Christ. I'm going to lose them that I might win Him. Losing to Win. Notice verse number 9. He said, "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness." I want to be found in Him. Lose these things, win Christ, be found in Him. "Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." We know that's how salvation is, by faith. That's what he's talking about. "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." He's lost all these things, that he might have this instead in his life. "The power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." He says, I'm not perfect. Amen. But I like this next phrase: "But I follow after." Amen. He says, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm following after something. Amen. I'm going after the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to win for Him, that I might win Christ and do what He would have me to do with my life. He's not talking about salvation here, by the way. He's talking about that he might serve the Lord and win for Him. Amen. You're in the race, you're in the race. Amen. You got Him. Amen. But it's just a simple fact of winning for Christ, doing what He would have us to do. He reads on, read on here with me. He says, "But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Brethren, there he is talking about who he's addressing this to again. He says, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching," it sounds like losing some things, amen, that loss we could put in here again, I believe. He's forgetting, he's losing some things. "Those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for everything that You've done this morning. Thank You for Your Word, dear Lord. Thank You for the Apostle Paul, and what a great work You did in his life, dear Lord, changing him from Saul to Paul. And dear Father, thank You for the inspired Word of God and the books that You inspired and led and used him to write. And dear Lord, a lot of personal things You allowed him to write and led him to write in this Word that we can take and look at in our hearts and our lives today that can help us. And dear Father, as we look today at Paul's race, and as how many times and some facts he mentioned about the race, I pray that You'd help us, dear Lord, to apply these things to our heart and our life with Your help of Your Holy Spirit. That, dear Lord, we might run a race like Paul that would be honored and pleasing to You. And help us, dear Father, today. And speak to each heart. And help us, dear Father, be willing to lose, to win, and look to You. Thank You for all that You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. You think about today the thought that the Lord gave me for the title of this message. I know it's a little different, but losing to win and looking to Him. Usually you don't think about losing to win. Amen. Usually only if you're going to win, you got to do what? Win. Amen. But sometimes you think about losing, in this case, is the way to win. Amen. Losing is the way to win. You think about here in verse number 8, if we was to take the time to go back, there's three simple things I want to give you as part of the introduction. In verse 8, he talked about losing. In verse 13, he talked about forgetting. And then in verse 14, he talked about pressing. Amen. Losing, forgetting, and pressing. If we're going to take and win for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to lose some things or forget some things. Amen. You think about today in mine and your life, I don't know about you, but I don't like losing. I hate losing. Amen. Kelly, I'll tell you that. I hate losing. Amen. Me and David play video games together.
Like Xbox 360,
Sonic Racing, right? And I don't like losing. Amen. I try to win every time I play it. Amen. And he beats me sometimes. He's getting better and better at it. But I don't like to lose. I play to win. Amen. Why play if I'm not going to play to win? Now, I have fun winning or losing, amen, but I'm trying to win the thing, right? You think about you run the race to win, and you think about, we'll see this in just a minute, another place of Scripture, and that's the way Paul was. That's what he said. He said, you run the race to run out. You run it to win, that you might win Christ. Amen. But if we're going to win Christ, if we're going to please Christ and do what He would have us to do, if you will, we're going to have to lose and forget some things in our lives. Amen. You think about losing, if you will, for a minute this morning. There's some things, there's a word that comes to my mind when I look at the life of Paul and these verses that we just read and this idea of losing that he mentioned several times here. Two things come to my mind when this thought of losing come in, if you will, is the first thing is the fact that he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to lose some things to sacrifice so that he might win the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to make some sacrifices to win. In other words, you think about, we mentioned this not too long ago, might even been Wednesday night. If it wasn't, it was here recently on a Wednesday. We talked about sacrifice just a little bit. And you think about what the word sacrifice means. And some of y'all, I got you to give me some of your ideas of sacrifice and things like that. What was the first thing that popped into your head? And several of you mentioned like a giving up or you know, laying down something and those types of things. You think about sacrifice, the Old Testament sacrifices. We talked about that. You think about the fact today, what is the Lord calling us in 2019 to lose, to sacrifice in our lives, amen, that we might take and give to Him? Sacrifice takes some pain a lot of times. Sacrifice takes some loss in some areas a lot of times. It might be financial loss that you might win Christ. It might be loss of a job that you can take, and not saying loss of a job in the sense of not having a job, but I'm talking about maybe a less of a job, amen. I'm talking about maybe going into picking a different job, amen. I'm talking about losing something that you might win Christ, that you might do what He would have you to do. And there's some of y'all in here that could give personal examples of that, amen, where you've lost some things that you might win Christ. You've sacrificed, amen, that you might do what He would have you to do. You think about Paul in verse 5 and 6 there as he gives his resume, if you will. You think about, boy, he was in the limelight, amen. He was well known. He had a name, if you will. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, amen. He was, look at the stock, the family tree, amen, that he come from. You don't know who my mama and my daddy is, he could have said, amen, like some people say today. But you think about the fact, he said, all that doesn't matter, I'm willing to lose every bit of that I might win the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Paul could have said, look at what I could have done. Look at the position I could have held. Look at what I could have done in my life. But you know what? I was willing to sacrifice and lose all those things because they're nothing but dung in the end. They really don't matter. They're all going to, if you will, to use another example Scripture tells us, all those things are going to be burnt up one day. Amen? They really don't matter, these temporal things. Instead, I'm going to win Christ. I'm going for what's the most important thing, amen, Paul said, and that's to do what He would have me to do. I'm willing to sacrifice to lose some things, if you will, to forget some things, if you will, that I might do what the Lord would have me to do. Sometimes in our lives, we need to forget some things that we might do what God wants us to do, amen. Sometimes we let past sins, sometimes we let present circumstances and situations cause us to weigh us down, and what we need to do is get over some things, amen. We need to forget about some things. We need to move on from some things. You say, you don't know what happened to me. You don't know what that person did to me. You don't know my family situation growing up. You don't know what took place in my life this past year. Guess what? Forget those things, get over it, get up, and move on. Amen. Paul could have dwelled in the past. He could have sat and he could have said, oh, but look at all these people that were Christians that I tormented. Oh, look at what I did while Stephen was stoned. Oh, you just don't know what I've done, how many missed opportunities I've had for God, how many times I failed, all this wasted years and wasted time that I... He could have said all those things. If anybody had an excuse to make, it would have been Paul. But you know what he said? I'm willing to lose every bit of that. I'm going to forget those things that are behind that I might press toward the mark, that I might win Christ, that I might do what He would have me to do. I'm willing to lose to win, to move on for Him, losing and forgetting that I might press toward the mark, as he said in verse number 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, if you will.